Our First Testament reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all peoples of earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistles from Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I was listening to an audio clip recently of man-on-the-street style interviews done at the National Christian Booksellers Convention some years ago. Someone from the White Horse Inn, which is a theological podcast, was asking people, what is the gospel? The responses were from people who work in the Christian publishing industry. And typical answers included, I think the gospel to me is a message that can be personal to any person, not something that's really tangible, something you have to find within yourself. Or another response, the gospel is Jesus Christ living in my life every day and in every situation and passing that on to others. Or another, the gospel means you love the Lord, you love yourself, and you love other human beings. Or the gospel means everything to me. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. Ken Jones, a Los Angeles pastor and one of the White Horse Inn panelists who was listening to this, responded, you know, I've commented before that the biggest mission field ripe for evangelism in the Western world is the church. Christians don't understand Christianity. They don't understand the gospel. Another pastor and panelist, Kim Riddlebarger, responded saying, wow, that's a strong charge. But when you hear the comments that people at a Christian convention make about the gospel, it's obvious that none of these people have ever read the book of Galatians or the book of Romans. So these people who were interviewed, or even us, right here, what is it that we don't get about the gospel? 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians because they didn't understand the gospel. In our epistle lesson today that Brian read, Paul accused the Galatians of turning to a different gospel and distorting the gospel of Christ that he, Paul, had proclaimed to them. In Galatians 3, Paul uses even stronger language. You stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, is the very core of the Christian faith. And it's completely unique in the world of religions. It's the defining doctrine of Christianity. So what is the gospel of Jesus? The gospel is not Jesus living in me. It's Jesus dying for you. The gospel is not about anything you do. The gospel is what Jesus has done for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the law. That's what you are required to do. That's not the gospel. You know, there's a very popular modern proverb attributed to St. Francis of Assisi that goes, proclaim the gospel always. Use words if necessary. It's beautiful. And it implies that doing nice things for others is the gospel. It's not. That's the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, the gospel is what God has done for you. It's not what you do. And that's the very same issue that confused those Christians in Galatia. And Paul was alarmed. He not only wrote the Galatians this emphatic letter, he also called for a meeting in Jerusalem to discuss the issue with the other leaders of the church. You can read about that in Acts 15. Here's the story. Galatia was located in what is now the northern part of modern-day Turkey near the Black Sea. The Galatians, however, were of Celtic ancestry, Welsh and Irish. They'd migrated to Galatia following work as mercenaries for the Roman Empire. They were a tough crowd of warriors. Christian Armenians from Turkey are descendants of the Celtic Galatians, among other tribes. The Galatians were the first people group that Paul evangelized. It would be natural that Paul had a special place in his heart for the Galatians. Paul presented the gospel to the Galatians as he presented it elsewhere. He explained that we are saved by God's grace, God's merciful favor, saved through the faith that's conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit, faith given to us as a gift, so that none of us has any cause to boast. Read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He explained that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is the only one who ever fulfilled God's requirement for perfect righteousness. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he voluntarily took upon himself your sinfulness and with his death paid the penalty you owed. Not only did Jesus take upon himself your sinfulness, he imputed to you, credited to you his own righteousness. So now when God looks at you, he doesn't see your failings and your selfishness and your rebellion. God looks at you and sees the righteousness of Christ. Read Romans 5 and 6. Though you are sinful, Christ died on a cross for you. He took your sin and continues to take your sin and credits to you his righteousness. You are forgiven and reconciled with God. You can be at peace. The work is finished. That's the gospel. And we're called to believe that. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus praised the faith of a foreigner, a Roman centurion, who'd received the gift of faith and trusted that Christ could do what he said he could do. That's what Paul was hoping for from the Galatians. But unbeknownst to Paul, there was a group from Jerusalem who traveled to Galatia after Paul had left. And this group taught the Galatians that if they really wanted to be followers of Christ, faith in Christ was not enough. They first must become Jews and follow the law of Moses. This group from Jerusalem was called the Judaizers. The law of Moses that they taught to the Galatians to observe included circumcision and all the dietary laws and all the laws that restrict activity on holy days. And the first thing the Judaizers started doing was circumcising the Galatian men and boys who'd been baptized into Christ. Not so popular. From Paul's perspective, the Judaizers took the gospel, the proclamation of God's forgiveness and acceptance of us, because of the work of Christ, and turned that. They turned Christianity into work that we need to do. A religion of laws and lifestyle, rather than a proclamation of forgiveness and grace and freedom. Paul was angry with the Judaizers, but also angry with the Galatians. Why? Because they didn't have faith in Christ's ability to save them. We have the same problem. You and I think like this. God forgave me for what I did. Now, as long as I don't screw it up again, I'll be okay. You know what? We sin regularly. It's always something. You'll screw it up again. And there'll be consequences. But God will never leave you or forsake you. You belong to Christ. You're still saved. His love for you is that powerful. In our Old Testament lesson today, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 23 and 24 describe God's faithfulness toward King David. That's interesting. Because David, despite all that God had done for him, he was not faithful to God. He was an adulterer and a murderer. And he had dire consequences to cope with as a result. But God did not abandon him in his despair. God did not leave him or forsake him. And he'll do the same for you. Here's why. Just like the Galatians, just like little Amelia Agonius baptized this morning, you have received a wonderful gift. Christ died for you. You're forgiven and reconciled with God. You can pray and have complete confidence that God hears you and responds with your best interests at heart. God will act on your behalf. You just don't have to worry about that. In a world filled with uncertainty and fears that you don't talk about, when your failings are always before your eyes, you've been given the righteousness of Christ. He loves you more than you can imagine. He cares deeply for you and for those whom you love. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the depth of your love for us. And we thank you for the unimaginable gifts that you have given us. Not only the forgiveness of our sins, but also the imputed righteousness of Jesus. We have been declared righteous. We've been justified. Lord, help us to understand what you have done for us and cause us to be filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.